Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? How are you doing tonight? You are tuned into Mind Blowing Decisions, and tonight it's getting ready to get really raw and funky. I'm your host, DJ Success. We're going to have Double O coming in, so Double O, please say hi to everybody. All right, we got Gigi on, and we're going to have several other co-hosts coming in. Double O, are you on the line?
I'm logging on as we speak.
Okay, well, you're already logged on because I can hear you, and you're live on radio. So basically tonight we're going to be, like I said before, we're going to be talking about relationships and, you know, why do we have so many failing relationships, and especially amongst the Black, you know, community? There, you know, what is happening? Why do you feel that there are so many broken up homes? And if I can get some comments right now, that would be great.
Well, first off, I just want to say this may be a real mind-blowing, but there's an epidemic that's sweeping across our world called the Mandela Effect. And I don't know if you guys are YouTubers or, you know, scientific people like I am, but I am definitely a science buff. I believe in the Most High also, but there is something going on. I was just in Beverly Hills, and they have King Tut now with a symbol of a, like, some kind of bird, a raven or a falcon or something, and also the cobra. Now, as I grew up, I only remember King Tut having one thing on his head, which was a cobra. But because of what they say, people traveling back in the time and all this stuff, it's causing all of us, like, you know, deja vu, and all of us to, like, be tripping out, because there's supposed to be 11 dimensions and 11 simultaneous worlds going on. And what if, just what if, people are getting really freaked, you know, like our metabolical structures are being freaked out, because I just couldn't believe what happened with me and my child's father. I really felt it was, you know, me and a Black man going to come up together, really make it, you know, like mine, this and that. But it's like he turned into a demon on me, and I may have turned into a demon on him. And sometimes I felt like I wasn't even myself, you know. So it is definitely something going on. We have to be very clear as to what we eat, drink, put into our bodies, into our spirits, because the cosmic frequencies, I think, are changing up everybody. Anybody else want to chime in?
Oh, I would love to.
Okay. Go ahead. Floor is open. Who just said
live?
I'd love to? Yes, you are. You're live right now. Go ahead.
Oh, golly. Yeah, I hate to correct you a little bit there, Double O, but what you're talking about, the Mandela effect, is false memories. Tutankhamun always had a serpent on his head, and you're talking about membranes or the multiverse. And the multiverse is literally every possibility that could ever have been, every possibility of every possibility could be. And there's also a credible theory that this is just an illusion, a dream of a dream of a dream.
Right.
And
this
is never really here. And by the way, hello.
Hi. I want to ask a question real quick. Can you tell me who was just, you know, who was I just speaking to, and where you're from?
I'm from my mom and my dad. My name's JC.
Okay. All right, JC. Okay, and what city are you calling from?
I'm hanging up here in Napa.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And we want to give everybody, you know, a chance to express themselves and speak their mind. This is an open show. So, you can go ahead and respond to that.
Yes, I agree with you, JC. I remember the Tutankhamun having one cobra head, but right now in Beverly Hills and on signages pretty much everywhere, there is you know, a cobra in some other kind of bird or something. And I'm like, what the freak? And they're trying to say this has always been, you know. And so your memory and my memory are now false memories. And I don't know.
All right. Well, let me.
There's a bird on his scepter. So maybe they're mixing the two together.
Okay, well, let me ask you guys this. Why do you think that you know, men these days, you know, have lost so much respect for women? Every time they open their mouth, they're referring to females now as bitches and hoes. Why do you think that, even with the younger generation to, you know, 55 and 60, they, most of them, I'd say at least at 85%, of men are referring to women as hoes and bitches. Can somebody please respond to that?
This is Nye. Hi, everybody. Good evening. Good evening.
Hey.
I wanted to chime in on that. I think one of the biggest things that causes the disrespect is, one, us not valuing ourselves and not holding standards for ourselves when it comes to dealing with the opposite sex. If we come with certain standards and uphold certain ways that we hold ourselves and compose ourselves in public and behind the scenes, things will definitely change, and our circle will change, and the people that approach us, the men that approach us specifically, will definitely change according to their character and their stature. Now, on the men's side specifically, I believe that it all starts in the home. And a lot of the times, a lot of these younger men go based upon what they see. Men are visual learners, and they go by what's in front of them. So maybe they're not seen as seeing a woman of a positive stature or a positive perspective. So that way, they're going by what they're seeing. If all they're seeing are the B words and H's, then maybe they stereotypically categorize all women that way.
Well, I this is Double O chiming in, and you made a valid point, you know, as to us holding ourselves higher and this and that. But I always bring it back to the media and the messages that we see in radio, television, and film. And speaking personally for myself and, like, a lot of the queens that I know, like Miss Pearl, even she's a queen, and she helps a lot of people, and she elevated her man to a different platform, just as I did, putting knowledge and power into my man, but then yet they don't reciprocate and want to put knowledge and power into us, and will even want to put us down, call us black bitch, and excuse my language, and things that, and I'm like, well, I'm proud to be black, you know, it's like, what's wrong with being black, but I'm definitely not a pregnant female dog or a dog in heat, you know, so what's that about? And, you know, people who know me and know my father and know my family and my genealogy, we come from royal black people or African people. You know, so I'm definitely not that, but people will still try to put you down for whatever. My mom used to say it's projecting, and, like, because they feel that way about themselves, they then turn around and want you to be less than what you are, you know, for even just dealing with them. So like you said, you know, and it's a trip, the Indian people, they believe in a caste system, which I don't agree with. But even with some of the Asians, like this crazy movie that's out right now called Crazy Rich Asians, you have to kind of stay within your caste, because if you throw your pearls to swine, then so shall you be, you know. And that, to me, is where a lot of us have not been truly staying in our realm and keeping our standards high. Like my favorite quote from Chanel, I keep my heels, my head, and my standards high. And that's where we're missing. We don't have those, you know, those role models anymore teaching us and showing us, like, ladies, you can make it without having to have a man every night in your bed or this or that. So it's just a personal choice.
Okay, I want to go to another level. Okay, how do you feel social media is affecting relationships?
Oh, my God.
Can I put you...
Yeah, I mean, we're attracted to things that are fun and exciting. And let's be real. I mean, I've dated some really professional guys, and they are whack in the bed. And then I've dated some crazy bad boys, and it's fun, party all the time. So, you know, it's like it's a personal choice. And then finding that happy medium, you know, it's real. real.
I think that you misunderstood my question, so I'm going to ask again. How do you think social media is affecting relationships today?
This is Nye. Social media has become a problem because it's almost like an addiction to pornography, for lack of a better word. It's a fantasy thing. People put out what you want to see, what image that they want to uphold for the media, and the images that you see, that's what you think you're communicating with, and it causes problems. Because if you're not having that quality time or that time with your partner, then a lot of the times they drift off and they go into the fantasies of these other women, these Instagram models, so to speak, and they start DMing. And when they're losing, a lot of times guys, when they're losing interest, they drift off and they go to social media and they go to these strippers and these Instagram models, and it ultimately causes a drift in the relationship. And women too, we do the same thing. When we're losing interest, we go to outward sources and we check for social media. And I just think that we need to continue to have that spice that you had in the beginning of a relationship and continue it forward throughout the entire relationship to keep the communication open and exciting.
Yeah, and this is Double O just chiming in what you said, Ms. Pearl. Let me elaborate on my answer, because 50 Cent, he just put out this post on IG, and it was a guy on a jet ski, and he had a white girl with her legs up, you know, and he was having sex with her as he drove the jet ski. And he commented, "These people are living better than us." So it's making, and then it makes you think, well, man, I go on the jet ski with my guy and we have fun and it's cool and exciting. But now, because we're not having sex on the jet ski, we're not living, you know? And so that's what I'm saying. You can have you a nice go to work every day kind of guy, you know, you have your routine and this and that, and then after a while it gets boring. But then you have this bad guy who comes, he's muscular, he's all exciting, and he has sex better because he's wild and out there. You know, it's programming us to not be satisfied with who and what we are, and to try to elevate whatever relationships that we're already in, you know, or just be satisfied and content. And then 9 out of 10, okay, these bad boys, they're sometimes they're not really that good and bad either. You know, it's just you got to find one, but. That's what I'm saying.
Chiming in on that too, Double O. A lot of the media that we're seeing, whether it's women, men, everything, it's overly sexualized, from the way females dress to the media, to even some cartoons have hidden adult jokes within them, and a lot of the kids aren't paying attention to what's really going on. It's everywhere, and unfortunately, yes, sex sells. But it's sad that we have to stoop to that level to be able to get views and to get likes to be able to be accepted, and it's sad.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I have another comment here. You know, at one time, women were, you know, highly offended because a male or another female would call them a bitch. But in today's world, women are you know, identifying themselves as bitches, and it's just like, hey, bitch, what are you doing today? Just like, I mean, it's becoming like a trend all over the place. Why do you think we have gotten into that type of circle as females, where we want to call each other bitches, and then that we feel that this is a natural and a cool way of respecting each other? Because where I'm from, those were fighting words, you know, but in today's world, it's just like it's cool, cool, calm, and collective, and that's just how everybody rolls. So can you tell me, why do you think that bitches are calling each other bitches?
Because it's a power thing. It's to let people know that, you know, you can't ruffle my feathers anymore over a word. And I'm so badass, yes, I am that bitch, you know. So that's where it comes from. It's a huge paradigm shift that's happening, because people are tired of being suckered into words. People are tired of being manipulated by by other people's words, you know. So if you can overcome that, like a lot of people had big issues with nigga. And in my generation, it wasn't nigger that we were calling each other. We had an acronym, Never Ignorant Getting Goals Accomplished, and the elders couldn't understand it. They didn't like it, but we had all agreed that's what it would represent, you know. And it's just all about empowering each other, that we aren't going to be brought down by words any longer. And, I mean, I was born in 1980, so that's our generation, you know. They say it's a lost and deprived generation. And, you know, anybody else want to chime in on it? But that's what I understood, you know. It's a power thing.
Well, this is JC. Can I put 2 cents in as a guy?
Please.
Could it possibly be that there's just no men around anymore? And I don't mean males, I mean men.
Right.
In my 1960 birthday type of frame of mind. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I was a left-hand man, not the right-hand man.
Well, I'm a left-hand girl, not a right-hand girl.
All right. Well, now, I want to move on a little further, you know, as far as, like, you know, the men roles, the roles now you're seeing in relationships where now more women are at work every day and the male in the home is maintaining the household, doing, well, some of them, doing the laundry and, you know, cooking dinner and keeping the house clean, you know. Why do you think today in relationships the roles have reversed?
Cosmic, I believe.
Come on now, I need to hear some people talking, not hold the line. Why do you think the relationship has reversed?
In the greater sense of the situation, I don't see it. And I'm a business owner.
Okay. So you just don't fit that criteria, but it is a lot of that going on. Now, I'm going to open the floor up to anybody else that wants to ask any questions pertaining to relationships themselves.
Okay. How do you guys feel about when both male or female, because this is becoming common now, that just want to have a friends with benefits relationship, but don't want the responsibility and the commitment of being married?
Yeah, this is double O, and that's something I can easily answer. And it has to do with people not wanting their feelings to be hurt any longer. Like, a lot of people have gone through divorce, you know, a lot of people have gone through hurt. And so walls get put up to keep oneself from being hurt again. And so just having mutual friendships of, you know, we're sexual beings and we need that taken care of sometimes, it's real easy to fall into that category with no strings attached and no hurt and no heartache, you know. And it all has to do with someone who has had their mind deprogrammed because of hurt. You know, look at slavery. You have our black men having to be forced to create other slaves. How do you think their mind was able to function with that paradox, knowing the suffering and the treatment that was going on, and then having to go into a beautiful queen and create a slave? That's a very, very, very deep and hurtful thing to get out of your DNA. And so now fast forward, we have these tremendous cheater, playboy type of men who are running rampant in the African-American community because of that very seed that was planted back in slavery. Some people don't think like me. Some people don't see that. But
right.
I am a strong believer of DNA and coding, and some things just have to get out the system. And then if your
right.
system has been hurt so many times over and over again from having, you know, wanting to be in this deep loving relationship because of what this paradox of this society has set up, that you're supposed to get married and you're supposed to have the American dream and you're supposed to live that way. And it's just not working. It's just not possible.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. In relationships today, I hear a lot of men refer to women not only as bitches, but they also say, call them a side chick, you know, or a side piece, you know. Why do you think women are, I mean, is it a shortage of men or something that women are allowing themselves to know that these men are in relationships, but they just want to be a side piece? You know, why do you think that is happening today?
Okay, well, I know that in the last census, 54% of the population was female.
So maybe, okay, so do Myra, Devil O, do you guys have a comment in there?
Can you repeat that for me?
Okay, yes. I said, why is it in today's relationship when women know that a man is in a relationship, they allow themselves to be referred to as a side piece? Why is that?
I think that, for one, it's emotional detachment, and allowing that to happen, you don't feel any type of you don't feel any type of responsibility for it. You're just doing what you got to do. You have a set schedule as far as communication is concerned, what's allowed, what's not allowed, and if some people are okay with that. Me personally, I'm not. I think that it's being a lot more accepted, and to me it's a lowering of standards. That's just my point of view.
And
yeah,
I would
and
like to chime in.
And to me, I think it's like, you know, sloppy. I think it's a way of degrading yourself and losing control of your whole value. I hear, a little bit of static in someone's background, so I would appreciate it if we could keep it kind of clear. I want to open the floor again to see if anyone else has any questions they'd like to ask.
Well, let him answer,
yes, I'm saying.
And then I want to answer the question. Go ahead, sir.
I think really in each of these scenarios, these days it's a lower set of values. It's a lower moral state. So when you have that, you have low self-esteem, you have people that are glorify stuff that normally, if you use the expression, people who was raised right, then you end up with chicks that don't mind being called a bitch. They don't mind being a side bitch, a side piece, or none of that. That's what they're glamorizing now. And I feel that's part of the big conspiracy. We won't go into that. But all that extra new slang and everything you say is got to be really flip and fly. That's on commercials, and everybody's doing all that kind of stuff. That's kind of stuff that brings along the side pieces and people referring to, and girls referring to each other as bitch and shit like that. Sorry about that. But the moral state, the moral decline, as they say, that's true. And that's the biggest problem right there. Not being able to whip your kids, that's where it started.
Yes, and I totally agree with you, and touching on that whole conspiracy thing to demoralize the family, to bring down and degrade the family and make it cool to have multiple women, and it's really heartache and heartbreak.
Keeps you weak.
It's very weak, and it's very trifling. But at the same time, you have a whole oligopolies and systems set up in the Far East, in the Orient, where people are used to being a wife and they help their husband pick out a second wife, which is not even comparably close to a side piece. But then we start developing these side piece families, and these side, a man may have a baby mama or a wife, and then now he's got a side piece, and they got a family with that side piece as well, you know.
Right.
And I think it does. You touched on something very powerful, brother, would mention in the conspiracy, because there is a conspiracy against family, the institution of family.
Exactly. That's to tear it down and make you weak. Keep,
yep.
Keep the man somewhere else or in jail, you know what I mean? And It's easy to get in. There's nobody that's gonna have a firm standing to make a decision.
And contention against brother and sister and family structure is broken.
That too.
You know?
Which
and,
is
and,
exactly
and
what I'm saying, that there's no more men in the family anymore. There's no more men.
Right.
Straight up.
What you touched
that's on purpose.
Right. So what type of message do you think that we're sending to our children, you know, that's being sent out to our daughters when and our sons, you know, when they're exposed to this type of environment, or even so where now even, you know, being, you know, having a gay relationship is supposed to be, legal now. So, I mean, how do you think that that's affecting, do you think the way that men is treating women today is the reason why women are seeking other women, or do you think in your heart this is just something that they wanted to do all along? What is your thoughts on that?
This is Nye. I believe that faulted relationships with men, of course, it all starts in the home. A lot of cases, women don't have relationships with their fathers, or they face sexual abuse, or just don't have luck with dealing with the right men. And a lot of times I have heard cases of, well, I started dating women because I haven't had luck with men, and men have just been dogs to me, and I really didn't have a father figure or a male figure in my life to set the example. And, of course, there are other cases where women have just said, well, I've always been this way. I've always been felt like one of the guys, or I just was curious with women. So it varies based upon men's actions causing women to go to become bisexual or openly gay or trans. It's really
that's
based upon.
That's being glamorized, though. That's why. Sorry.
No,
go ahead.
But that's part of the whole thing. When they start glamorizing it, you know, it's all cool. But Madonna come out and kiss all of those little stars that everybody, all younger girls looking up to, and that's all part of the plot. Believe me, that's all part of the plot. Everything that's happening is being well executed, and it's all these people are not playing. And they're trying to, they're scared. So they know if there's any kind of consolidating, it's over. None of that stuff is going to be put in play. So as long as they keep doing this kind of stuff, and then, of course, that'll also shorten the population, because won't nobody make no babies if they stuck together, you know what I mean, together instead of like they're supposed to be.
Yeah, well, my concern is...
Yeah, you take a lesson from Japan.
Pardon me, sir. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Well, as the other gentleman was saying about, you know, couples not making any babies anymore because they're going into a same-sex relationship, just take a lesson from Japan. They have men. I can't remember the proper name for them, but they lock themselves up in their mommy's house for 10, 20 years. Playing video games and living inside their parents' house and not coming out of their front their bedroom door. The population of Japan is dwindling, I mean, crashing. Check it out. And they found after several years of study that's because the young men are not going after the young women, and the young women are not going after the young men. They're staying with themselves.
Right. So there is a lot of that, so I do agree. Does anyone else have any other questions on relationships? Because I would like to go into another subject.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Now, why did you think that, you know, all of a sudden, just like out of the blue in 2018, all of this, he touched me 30 years ago. I don't know if you guys have noticed the trend, but it's been somebody's got some background feed that needs to stop because it's feeding into the show. Okay, Thank you. Why do you think all of a sudden in 2018 it's just been a ripple effect of, you know, rape and molestation and all of these things? I mean, it's, I mean, everywhere you look, you know, it's all of a sudden out of the blue. I mean, not to say it's never happened before, but it really hit hard in 2018, starting with Bill
I think it's a major influence based upon the main person that we see on a daily basis. Not to say that Donald Trump is a blame, but he has been in cases of sexually assaulting women and groping women. And I think that a lot of people in a lot of cases, because it's been put in the social, put into media as a whole, people are starting to become a lot more comfortable and thinking that it's okay when really it's not. It's definitely not acceptable.
If I may.
Yes, you may.
This is JC, and I know I'm going to get every woman mad at me here in about 10 seconds. Bro, you're going to have to help me out here. And that is that you're seeing 2018. Let me flip that. Stop that. Scratch it around. You're seeing 1950, 1940, 1960, 1970 from the lens of the 2018s, or hell, we'll just call it the 2020s. You're seeing there was a time when things happened. I mean, you should see how the 50s were or how the 60s were. I've lived it. I remember a lot of things when I was a wee lad. The 70s, you know, was crazy, and a guy would be drawn up and shot and quartered now, but back then it was perfectly normal. So I think there should be there's a reason why that there is a statute of limitations. I think there should be a statute of limitations for all things. If it's far enough in the past, if it, we all agree that it's okay, let's say 10 years. I'm not the same man I was 10 years ago that I am today. And,
right.
You know, I don't think you ladies or the other gentleman is the same 10 years ago as he is today, or you girls, to, you know, you get what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. We change, we evolve, we adapt. We're constantly learning and growing. So that's why there is these things called, you know, statute of limitations. That's why there's these limitations on time of how far back you can go. Going 20 years back, he's not the same man anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't work the same way anymore, you know?
Including
That's my two cents.
Okay. And that was a great defense for Bill Cosby.
I think
it was also Bill Cosby, Bill Nye, Trump, and a few dozen other people, including what's his name that was on House of Cards.
It was somebody who did something to Doogie Howser too, and he said if he did, he didn't even remember, and he was sorry. You know, it was a lot of people who,
Yeah, the guy that does Terry, what's his name, that does the Old Spice commercials?
Terry Crews.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If
you know,
10
years, 15 years ago. Hello.
In those cases, in all those cases,
you
know what that is. That's being all out. That's a bully. That's a bully thing. That's a person feeling entitled because they got money and they can just do what they want to do. That's all that is. And
Bill
Cosby was nasty,
and
the wrestling cast is nasty too with that crap they're doing. Just
do it like one or two times, or maybe even five. You know, but it was like
that's
20.
That's been going on since the 20s 30s. And 30s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's too
much. And
the thing
is not only a power play, but if you notice a lot of. Some of these accusations may be true, but if you notice, it's a similar pattern when people who are held up to a high standard, who have a certain amount of money, like the whole Jay-Z messing around with another woman, Bill Cosby's cases. If you notice, when a lot of major key players in the industry are about to make a big move, Bill Cosby, for example, was about to purchase a major network, I'm not going to mention the name, and then all of a sudden, all of these accusations just come out of nowhere. And all of these floodgates of women and men and everyone accusing these key players in the industry of sexual assault, sexual abuse, and things of that sort. So just pay attention to that as well. Yes, they may have changed, but if you notice, when major shifts are about to change in these major networks and industries, film, television, and media as a whole, they bring up all the dirt to try to overshadow and to stop all of the possible sponsorships and deals from
progress.
Going down.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So what does everybody think about the statute of limitations of coming up with one?
Well, there's certain things that the statute of limitations don't cover, too.
Well, I think statute of limitations against children should never exist. Like, if you were a child and that was done to you, you should be able to get the person who did the damage to you. But with adults, because like let's be totally honest. When you are adult and your cerebellum has developed, or you're at least 18 and you've been having sex, you know when it's a sticky situation and you should leave or not. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you were called over there for, so maybe you shouldn't even go. You know? So
okay. Well, I want to. Thank you for that input. However, I have to go to a break, and when we come back, we're really going
to
get down.
You were tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions with DJ Success every Wednesday at facesofsuccessradio.com.
Now we're back. My next thing that I would like to present to everybody is, if you were in a situation where you found out that your significant other was molesting or raping or any of the topics that we've discussed today, how would you bring any balance to your relationship? Is there, I mean, at that point, to me, somebody's giving us a lot of feed in the background, a lot. Okay, so at that time, how would you handle, I'm going to say, making a mind-blowing decision if you were in a relationship where that type of stuff existed? I mean, no matter how good, how much you love the person, how good the sex was, whatever the case may be, what do you think that you would be able to walk away from it?
Not only would it walk away, but I'd probably be going to jail if somebody touched my kids.
Okay, and who is this that we have on the line?
This is BJ. I'm out of Vallejo. I'm just checking in, so I just heard your scenario.
Hey, BJ. It's Double
L.
How you doing, bro?
Well, thank you for joining us.
Hey, BJ,
us.
I haven't heard of you for 100 years. JC here.
What's going on, JC? How you doing?
All right, we better hold it short.
I appreciate having you tuned in, and thank you for listening to the show. And we've covered a lot of different topics. And now that you are on the line, I'd like to ask you, is there any questions pertaining to relationships or issues that you see, whether, you know, what it doesn't matter where, what area it's concerning, is there any questions that you would like to ask to the panel or the listeners or whatever at this point?
I mean, there's a lot of deep relationship things going on in our millennial stages right now. I got a few questions that would be good, like do we feel that marriage is really beneficial in our generation? Like, before, for our parents, it was very a must need because times were so hard and everybody was against them, so they had to bind together to kind of just make a living. And that's why, you know, a lot of, you know, people got married back in the day. But now that everybody's making their own money, are people really getting married?
Oh, I'd like to chime in on that. I think marriage is such a beautiful thing when people are ready for it and really understand the depth of it and take it serious, because marriage is an institution, it's a covenant, you know. It's more than just, you know, you get tax write-offs and this or that. If you look at real successful people, most of them are married. Even though Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are crooked as heck, they still know that that is a covenant and there's blessings that come through that union. And so people, especially in the African-American community, have not been raised up with true wealth. And there's been a lot of studies that show on the average white person or white family with a man and a woman that work and are married, they have at least $100,000 saved up in the bank for a rainy day. You know, in African American communities, there with married couples, there may be 75 to 80,000 saved up in the money. But then with black people who have been disassociated and don't claim the African race or have not migrated from Africa here to America, they may have $500 saved in the bank. You see what I'm saying? So the fact that people have separated themselves from God and the institution and the covenant that marriage was instituted for has greatly impacted the significance of the race and the people. Now, you look at Jewish people or the Ashkenazis, because they're not the real Jews, and I will show in lineage and history where they are not. They are married. There's so many Jewish married couples. They thrive on that. And it is a real paradox that enough people of color have not really taken that covenant to truth.
Can I interject real quick? So I think we need to look at some of the factors that go into why black people are not getting married. I have a couple opinions on it. I mean, I don't know if anybody else want to chime in, but I have some opinion. Yeah, I want to hear.
Go ahead.
Okay, all right. So I think part of the reason is as black people are the lost seeds of Africa, as I like to call us, we don't have a culture. And so any group of people that has had their leaders killed or really murdered, they can't survive. If you look at every part of history, no matter when we tried to pull ourselves up, the government infiltrated and really started killing us off. We used to get married at a high rate, higher than white people, slowly after slavery, because, again, like I said, it was kind of required that if you wanted to be successful in life, you had to get married. And, you know, people had different values back then, so everybody wasn't being able to screw. So if you wanted to have sex, you got to get married. So that's part of it, too. But another big reason is I feel like the division, and it comes from the feminist movement, is really dividing the women from the men in our community. I believe that when the feminist movement first started, it was about white women getting equal shares with their white counterparts. And then what happened was they weren't getting any push. And so right around the same time as the civil rights movement started to perk up and start really get some footage, they decided they wanted to go on and bring on the black women to help them in their cause. And so that within itself divided the family, and then they also started using the government to divide us by, you know, different kind of things to keep the women away from the men. And it really kind of separated till this day where we're kind of always competing. And in my opinion, the women that are getting married, they kind of understand the power that they have as a woman. And so they don't really compete with their man. And it's like the ones that aren't married struggle with that concept of being a partner. It's more like they're being competitive. What are your thoughts?
I think you forgot about World War II.
which also show a shortage of men in the household and put women out into the labor force, black and or white or tutti frutti. And, you know, the black and white and others, I agree to a level, but I really think it's education is the big dividers, and then the races and such. Education is the big key. And, you know, with a partner that's a teammate, you know, a team, there ain't no stopping you.
Right. What do you, what do you guys feel, what do we guys feel about sister wives?
Well, I just want to comment on this.
I'm sorry.
Just
go ahead.
A little bit, but back when we were coming up, well, I'm going to say at least myself. You know, the Brady Bunch. There was a show called the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch was like the trendsetter of what the American family was supposed to be. Then you had like shows like Good Time that also shows you how black people bonded, what marriage and family is supposed to be about. Just the only thing different is that their struggle. They had a struggle. Then you have the Jeffersons come up right behind them and then set a whole nother trend of how black family and marriage can be. And that, to me, was like the first interracial, I can't think of her name, interracial relationship that was aired like back in the day. But I feel that, I hate to say it this way, but it's all white women have always been, by word of mouth, supposed to be superior to, you know, black women. And so I think the reason why the point I'm making with this is they've been told like they're trophies. And the thing that hits me the most is when a black man does get money and he does get up on his feet, the black woman is there through all the struggles. But once that man gets up on his feet and he gets the nice car and the gold wrapped around his neck, he takes that and dumps it right back into the white community, which leaves the black women still in poverty. Like, we don't, like, hey, they don't like nice cars. They don't want to have nice houses. You know, they don't like steak and lobster. But what kills me through all of their struggles, it's a black woman pushing them. But once they, you know, reach a certain level, they just shoot a different direction. So, I mean, I mean, do you feel what I'm saying right now or not?
I totally feel you. This is 00, and you guys, I mean, the spirit is so heavily upon me right now, I just have to quote Deuteronomy 28, verse 53. I'm sorry, verse 53 to 65. If you guys don't think we are not living in this, the curse for disobedience, it says, "The Lord will bring nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect of the old or pity of the young. They will devour the young of your livestock and the crops of your land until you are destroyed. They will leave you no grain, no wine, no oil, nor any calves of your herds or lambs of your flocks until you are ruined. They will lay siege at the cities throughout your land until the high fortified walls which you trust have fallen down and besieged the city. Because of the suffering of your enemy will inflict on you during the siege, you will eat the fruit of the womb and the flesh of the sons and the daughters of the Lamb, I mean of the Lord, your God has given you. Even the most gentle of the sensitive men among you will have no compassion on his own brother or the wife he loves or his surviving children. He will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his children that he is eating." And this is what you're talking about, BJ. You sound so against your own people, and what has been done is like a preconditioned curse. It's like we got to break this curse by coming together. And you say that black people only came together because we wanted to have something, or that because we wanted to have sex with one another. But no, we were still connected to the land, and we knew we were the Israelites.
But a great evil was done. Our leaders were killed. They were destroyed. Anybody who spoke out against the agenda to wake us back up, because there is a recompense that is coming, and we shall overcome. You know, like Martin Luther King said, the worst thing that's going to happen is not that our enemies won, is that our friends did nothing. And that's the struggle and the problem with going on with a lot of relationships is because, believe it or not, we are made in the image, all of us. And when they see God's image not even obeying and doing what God has put us on this earth to do, to have dominion and do what's righteous, when that is shown throughout the land that they can even pervert us, everybody's going to be perverted. Everything's going to be perverted.
Let me interject real quick, if I may. I'm not saying I'm against relationship or I'm against our people. Like, I'm really looking at it from a standpoint of what was in the best interest of our people at that point in time. Back in the old days, people had farms. People had different type of diseases. People had no way to really make sure that their kids survived. And people weren't really having premarital sex. So we had a culture that was for getting married because it was all beneficial. So what I say, fast forward now, is because our leaders are killed, because we have no culture to fall back on, that we're
our so-called leaders are selling out and just going for the okie-dokie and the demonic things instead of just staying true to the righteous things. That's what I
agree
see.
With that. So, and then here's another inkling to it with the men getting rich and getting on to the white women. So I think it's part. That plays a factor with wanting to be with the so-called white woman, but there's another factor included with that, being that I've dated white women before and I date black women, and it's a totally different experience just based on how they're raised. Same thing with Asian women and same thing with Mexican women. These three racial groups, they have cultures, and they're taught within that culture how to treat, how to respond, and how to behave with their man. A black woman, there is no culture within our thing. So you may get one thing with this woman, one thing with that woman, one thing with that woman. And I'm generalizing, it's not 100%. But, and I know a few people that were dating black women, and then when they got on, they married white women. But it wasn't because they didn't want to be with a black woman. It was the way they were treated after they got on, the way they were looked at after they got on, the way they were dictated to after they got on.
I agree with you, BJ, in the fact that, you know, and white women are not all that.
I've dated. I'll let you finish, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, and the people know me. Yes, I'm a little bit pigmentally challenged. But
that's all right. That's all right, brother. You all right?
Yeah, I know. I'm the blackest white man you'll ever see. But anyway,
preach.
Hey, you're the one that told me, Omalara. So anyway, but,
preach,
you know,
JC.
First, okay. So anyway, what I'm saying is that, you know, the white women are spoiled rotten. And it's four races that you mentioned, by the way. And there's two Asian races over there. So it's actually five different kind of flavors of women kind.
Right, right.
And you know,
and who's the tastiest? Who's the tastiest? Now let me stop.
Stop it.
It's all the different flavors of the rainbow. So, problem. So anyway, no, I mean passion. Yes, the black woman. Not. I think you can. Every guy on this call can say yes. Black women have the most passion, far bar none.
Right.
White woman, dare I say, is a little bit on the tame side, but she'll stab you in the back.
Right.
That's you know, that's just the way it is. Mexican, you know, they just go along for the ride. Yeah, whatever.
Right.
Right. And Chinese. You know, Chinese, I had one until she found somebody to replace me. and, yeah, it was an import. Cute little thing. And, you know, that was a flash in the pan. It's cut it out, Omar. Anyway, you know, so that. And then you got Japanese. Now, you know, that is the most male egocentric nation on the planet.
Right.
And as a Caucasian that is 6'2", and I have lost a little bit of weight since everybody has seen me, so I look
preach,
a little bit sexier.
Preach, JC, preach, preach.
You know, you can walk around there like a rock star.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, yeah. No, I mean, the domestic, you know, hey, I'll take a Nubian princess all day long.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, listen, okay, I just want to interject real quick. I think all of you have made very, very, very good points. For those of you that are just tuning in, you tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions on Faces of Success Radio .com. We're going to be here every Thursday at 7:30 talking about every topic within the world. The next show will be announced this Thursday what the topic will be, but we are running out of time. We have about 4 minutes left, so I want to make sure that is there anybody else that would like me to leave a comment or piggyback off of anything that we just discussed?
Yeah, just to speak on what BJ said, because this is DJ Double O, and I appreciate everybody for calling in, tuning in, and making your awesome comments. It's not to say that black women necessarily don't have it, but that's what I was talking about. We got to connect back to being African American women. I'm an African American woman. I was raised with both of my parents still married.
You
know what I mean? When we lose our identity, exactly. That's all I was going to say. When we lose our identity and let them strip us from not being who we are, it does filter out into our relationships. Yeah.
Almost definitely. You guys, and what people don't understand, and I had to learn it as I got a little bit older, women, about 80% of women in America have been sexually or physically abused in their past. And if we as a people aren't adapt to going to therapy, aren't adapt to being truthful and honest with it, because it's usually somebody you know or somebody that you're familiar with, those women aren't getting that treatment. So those women aren't being healed, and so in turn they're growing up and not being able to know how to love somebody or be with somebody or even love themselves. So that's a major obstacle that we have to learn how to overcome.
Yeah, going back to what I said about men, there's some men, there needs to be some men around here.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? And define those. I mean, I can understand if you did have some type of trauma in your life and how it may affect you. But at some point, you have to be able to say, look, this did happen to me and it did affect me. So what am I going to – I'm going to see from somebody's background, but what am I going to do now? Okay, yeah, this happened yesterday, so how am I going to take that experience that I went through and make my life better? You know what I mean? Because you can't hold on to it for the rest of your life, and you can't hold it over the next person and make their life miserable because you were in a situation that you survived. So at some point, an individual has to make that decision and go, okay, I this happened to me, but I'm not going to make our relationship, you know, like this. Or I don't want my kids to feel like this.
And that's what BJ just touched on. You have to go to therapy. You have to have those examples and see it. We have to keep forums and shows like this going to help people talk it out and get healthy, you know, get another
dialogue.
Side of life, see another view. Yeah, get dialogue and see another view because we are what we see. Like those three monkeys, see no evil, do no evil, hear no evil, or hear no evil, see no evil, do no evil. But if you hear good, see good, then you'll do good. You know, it's the same thing.
Well, we are running
out
of time.
How about Gene Roddenberry?
I'm sorry. We are running out of time. You're on Mind Blowing Decisions with DJ Success and co-hosting with DJ Double O. We'll be back here next Thursday at 7:30. I hope that you do tune in. I appreciate everybody for calling and your comments. But I'll talk to you next Thursday, hopefully.
Yay! Peace out.
Peace out.
Why not peace in?
Thank you. Thank you.